Okay, we're good.
Hearing no objections to the agenda is approved. To item four, our public involvement announcement. You may have noticed we've rearranged our agenda a little bit this month. We've moved public comments from before action items to after action items. And we've done that to tie it more closely to item eight, which is member comments, where we can more effectively respond and discuss your comments closer to their actions. We will also have an opportunity for public comment on every action item, and those comment periods are specifically restricted to that action item. So if we're going to take an action, we want to hear your thoughts on that action. And I will read now the public involvement announcement. PTAB meetings are open to the public, and the public is provided an opportunity to comment at each meeting. Action information items are presented by staff or consultant. After the committee discusses the item, the public is invited to formally comment. If a member of the public has a comment that does not relate to an action information item, an opportunity to comment will be provided during agenda item seven. All individuals addressing the board should state their name and limit comments to 2 minutes. The board may address or respond to comments during agenda item eight. If there was no response to your comment or you have or would like a more detailed response, please stay and talk to the staff or board member after the meeting adjourns. With that, we're moving on to item five. Any comments from the board on the June 13th minutes? Any objections? Yes.
I have one. On page four, it says Mr. Doug Miller stated he has concerns about brakes on the buses. What I meant was brakes for the drivers, not brakes, C-R-A-K-E-S, but brakes for the drivers on the buses.
Okay.
Good catch.
Any other comments, homonyms, or otherwise?
First and second.
Motion. This consent? Okay. We have a motion to adopt the minutes.
I will motion to adopt the minutes.
Second.
Is your motion to adopt the minutes as amended?
Yeah.
As amended.
He never gave me this, but the letter for support.
I didn't print it, so that's a now on screen. I have it on my computer.
Do you have a motion?
I have nothing on
any
it.
Objections to adopting the minutes? So. Hearing none, the minutes are adopted.
Wait, who seconded it?
Second.
Oh, you're back. Okay, good.
Don't worry.
Okay. Sorry, Nick's not here, so Allison and I are tag teaming the notes.
We're all working through some stuff here. Yep. Okay, on to item six, action information items. 6A, letter of support PTD's Alaska Mental Health Trust grant application.
So we didn't print any copies, but I emailed it to you, but I can pull it up on the screen if we want to. Do we want to look at it?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay.
Thank you. I'm a little hard of hearing, so I'm not able to hear anything that you're saying.
We will try to speak up.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, bass voices don't carry well. You have to really boom it out a little bit, because I'm not hard of hearing, but I can hardly hear you either.
It would help. It would help our voices carry if everyone just tried not to talk while everyone's talking up here.
So this is a letter of support that, for a funding type that we normally get through the Alaska Mental Health Trust. I don't think much has changed from the past, but it's basically saying you support. We submit an application to the state, and we are applying for fiscal year 2021 funding under the Alaska Mental Health Trust grant program. So when we apply for this funding, we usually provide letters of support to help boost our application. And then I don't know if Jamie or Wes, if you want to say anything more about this program.
So this is a program that actually was part of the governor's budget that was removed, but the Department of Transportation, the Alaska Community Transit Department as part of DOT, has some older mental health trust money available from previous years that wasn't allocated. So while there wasn't money in the 2021 budget, we are still going to go ahead and submit an application. So our application will probably be around the $465,000 range. This will allow us to do purchase of service on anchor rides. The Alaska Mental Health beneficiaries outlined 7 different groups that are eligible for this funding. They are primarily eligible anchorites riders. It's the only thing that we can do with this funding. So we're gonna go ahead and submit the application. We already submitted our letter of intent to apply, and once the grant application becomes available through the state, we'll go ahead and apply to that. Your letter of support would go as a supporting document, and then we would compete with the rest of the state for this funding. So.
I have a question.
Yes.
Do we usually do this letter of support every year?
Okay. Yes. Often we'll get letters of support from the Department of Health also, and potentially the MPO AMATs. And so we just try to tie in as much support as we can for this. This is gonna be a very competitive pot of money. There's not a lot left. And it's literally transit providers throughout the entire state. So whether it's a village service, whether it's Juneau service, Fairbanks, everybody's competing for these last little resources that are left. So your letter of support would be very welcomed.
Is there some sort of outreach for individuals who use anchor rides to also request for letters of support for this?
We haven't historically gone off after individual letters of support. At times we'll go out to the agencies that help support the beneficiaries, but usually we find that 2 to 3 letters is sufficient.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Hi, I am a provider of an agency, and this is the focus of why I'm here.
Excuse me, we're having board discussion now. There'll be public comments in a moment.
Okay.
The item and then
discussion, public comments, and then motion.
And then motion. Motion.
Thank you for that. Any further discussion? Sorry, now we'd like to open up public comment for specifically this item, the Mental Health Trust resolution, or excuse me, letter of support. Again, state your name, 2 minutes, and specifically on this topic.
Okay, I'm Samantha, and I am here as a representative provider, and this is a part of the services that we are doing. And I see up there that you address PTSD. Some of the individuals that we do provide support for are not qualifying to ride anchor rides because of their mental disorder or an emotional disorder, like they're severely emotional disorders. They don't qualify. These people are not able to ride anchor ride due to their level of disability, but they can't ride public transportation because of their disability. So this is something that I would like to take back to my agency and see if we can write a letter of support to support you getting this grant, and also to see if there is a way that we can also provide and advocate for access for our individuals that don't have a physical disability but do have a severe enough mental disability that they should be able to qualify for anchor ride. And I think my other piece will come under.
Great, thank you. Any other public comment on this issue? Yes.
Yeah, I'm Karen Barnett. I'm a writer, but in view of this woman's comments about I've noticed there's riders that say they were not approved eligible for anchor runs, and I was so surprised because they seemed pretty disabled, but they physically they didn't look any problem, and so I have to agree with her anecdotally. There is a problem with eligibility for non-physical. I was wondering what Paris Butler, who does the assessments, the Rider assessments. What is his education and his background, his medical education? I looked on the internet and there's nothing, but he's doing medical assessments. And an MD is required federally to sign off, and so he appears to be questioning, second-guessing an MD. So, is he an MD? I don't see it on his his listing as staff, a community staff member. Do you know if he's an MD? Or what medical education he actually has?
We can follow up with that perhaps in the board comments.
Yeah, because there's been some incongruous, I think inappropriate refusal of disability eligibility. And I've heard from people who have mental, cognitive, emotional disturbances, and they're locked out of their medical care because they are either scared to death to ride the bus, they don't know how to ride it, or when they try to ride it, they're left somewhere and they have no idea where they're at. So this is a really important on who is doing the assessment, what their education is. Are they medically superior to an MD?
Thank you, ma'am. We're straying a little bit from this topic. Thank you. Any other comments regarding this letter of support? Seeing none, I will entertain a motion.
Move to adopt the letter of support as a resolution.
Any objections to the letter of support? Seeing none, it is adopted. Moving on to 6B, ridership update.
Okay, so this is going to be a ridership update and transit on the move update at the same time. So first off, if everyone doesn't know, we have adopted these three logos. We've been unofficially using the People Mover logo for some time, and then slowly switching things out. So we will continue to switch things out. We're going to get new adhesives for the buses, but everything's going to be over time. We're not going to have one big rollout. But just to remind everyone, we do have a rideshare program. They have a new logo, and Anchor Rides is transitioning over to their new logo now, too. So it was just a FYI.
You've been using the middle one there.
For like 2 years unofficially. So now it's like anything new that we put out will have the new People Mover logo on it. And all of our swag has had this on it for years now. Okay, so everyone knows we changed the system in October 23rd, 2017. We have frequent routes, standard routes, neighborhood routes, and commuter routes. And so they're color-coded by red for frequent, blue for 30, green for 60, and rush hours are like a yellowish color. And then we've made two changes since that time. One in July of 2018, we realigned the neighborhood routes, and we transferred the Anchor Ride service that was in Chugiak Eagle River to the Chugiak Eagle River Senior Center. And then just a few months ago in July, the people who operated the neighborhood routes were contracted, and now they're was brought in-house, and now they're being driven by People Mover drivers. And at the same time, the Route 40 used to go to 2 a.m. Now it stops at midnight. The Route 65 was realigned to the airport. The 55 was extended to Alaska Native Medical Center, and then the frequency changed from every 60 minutes to every 30 minutes, so it improved. And we added more trips in South Anchorage on the Route 91 during the day. And then on Sunday, we expanded service by an hour, and so now Saturday and Sunday have the exact same service. So we have a weekend schedule, not just a Saturday and a Sunday one that's different. It's all the same. Same hours, both go to 8 a.m. So that's kind of like what's happened since October of 23rd, 2017. And if we look at just 2019 and we compare 2019 to 2018, so this is the new system being compared to the new system. In January, we had an increase in ridership of 1.4%, and then that has gone up. And then May, June, July, August have all had almost double-digit ridership increases. on this new system when we compare ourselves to just last year. This is a graphic that was in the report card, but this was what the system was doing before we changed. So we had our biggest ridership year of 2008, which is all the way on the left, and then all the way up until 2017, ridership declined. Every single year we lost ridership. So everything in the gray box is what happened before we changed the system. And then what we did is we said if we continued on that trend, this is what ridership would look like all the way to 2020, 2021. And so here's what's actually happened. We've had the same like dips and valleys, but ridership has gone up. And so if you look at June of 2019, on a typical weekday, 12,027 riders. You compare that to in 2017, it was 11,143 riders. In 2016, it was 11,611. 2015, 2,263. So we're almost back to 2015 ridership levels this year. And then if you look at August, just because I updated the data, it's the same thing, 12,190 average riders on a weekday. In 2017, it was almost 11,500, and then 2015, 12,400. So we're just a few hundred shy of the 2015 levels now. So ridership has gone up on the weekdays. If you look at Saturday ridership, same thing. Saturday ridership has gone up. The red dotted line is the trend of where we thought we would do if we didn't do anything. The blue line is what happened. So in August, 6,210 people on any given Saturday. In 2017, you can see those levels, 2016, and then 2015, we're above 2015 levels, so we're almost up to 2014 levels on Saturday. And this is not surprising because everyone has always said we needed more service on Saturdays and Sundays, and so with the system change, we increased the frequency, we expanded hours. Clearly, there was a demand for that, and then that's most clear on Sunday. Sunday, we've had the highest ridership Sunday than we've ever had in our system history. So it used to be September of 2011, we've had 4,300, but now just August, 4,800 people. And that was, you know, Sunday we gave a lot of hours, gave a lot of service, because that's what we heard, and people are really responding to us on Sundays. ASD ridership, so we have a partner with the Anchorage School, a partnership with the Anchorage School District. Students ride for free, the Anchorage School District pays into this. The bar on the far left is 2015-2016 school year. We had about 67,000 students ride that school year. And you can see all the way on the right, just this past school year that just ended, 2018-2019, 141,000 ASD students. And we expanded that last year to 42 middle and secondary schools. So if you look at just during that school year, that's 6% of our ridership is students. So that's really good to get young riders out there, you know, learning the system, bringing their parents along, you know, but exactly what we hope to have happen. So the ASD program is doing well, and this year it's the same number of schools. So we have that partnership again, which is really great. We don't talk a lot about rideshare here, but it is another service that we provide. And we used to, if people wanted to vanpool into Anchorage from the Matsu Valley or J-Bear or South Anchorage or Eagle River, they used to have to get a 13-passenger van, those big white vans. But now we've partnered with Enterprise, and it's called Commute with Enterprise, and they get a brand new SUV through Enterprise, just like you would if you were renting a car. And so right now we have 76 vanpools, 689 people use it, and on average, that's 52,000 annual trips. And just a couple months ago, in June of 2019, we started a program that if you join a vanpool, you also get a free unlimited bus pass. So one of the barriers to vanpooling is if you come in from the valley on a vanpool, you're stuck here all day until your vanpool leaves. You don't have a vehicle. So now when they are here during the day, they have a bus pass and they can get around Anchorage however they need until their vanpool is ready to leave again. So we just rolled that out as a new benefit of rideshare. Anchor Rides, just as an FYI, in 2018 they gave 132,900 trips. And just if we look at what type of trips Anchor Rides is providing, by far the number one is medical, followed closely by work. And then there's a big gap of unspecified. There's just a whole bunch of other things. And then Third is social recreation. Fourth is daycare. Fifth is shopping, and then education. So just a FYI for Anchor Rides. Okay, so that brings us into transit on the move. This is our short-range plan. Everyone's familiar with that on this board. But we are looking at all three of those services, People Mover, Anchor Rides, and Rideshare. And here's the project timeline. So we started this project in August of 2018, so a year ago. In December of 2018, we released our system report card that analyzed how the first year of the bus system was operating. And we used that to have a public event series in February. So we had a bunch of public meetings in February of 2019. And we talked about accessibility, convenience, and reliability. Then we had another round of public events in May and June of this year, so just a few months ago. And we were talking about a project prioritization and routes. And so we're now in that second to last bubble that says prioritize projects. That's what we're working on now. Christine is going through and looking at all the routes that were identified, putting price tags to them, and then trying to prioritize which routes will be highest on the list for if we get additional funding, which routes would we implement first. So I'm going to recap. This is all old news, but just so everyone's on the same page of where we are. Public event series number one that happened in February. We got 541 total comments during that time. 500 of them came from events. We even got one by mail, by post office mail, and then some through the website. But what we did is we had these boards, these blank boards about accessibility, convenience, reliability, and other, and people could put up post-it notes. And they could put up a post-it note however they wanted. So these are pictures of all the boards that we got at all the public meetings. Everyone put up their own post-it note, and we helped organize it. And we got all kinds of comments, but we got comments that said, keep the 15-minute routes just the way they are. And then we had some that said, put back the old system. So we heard both. We also had overwhelmingly put access to Old Seward Highway, not surprising, and Lusac Library. So we heard a bunch of comments. When we break them down, 185 of those comments said they wanted increased coverage, 17 increased or decreased fares, and then 36 were just about how we relay information to the public. On convenience, we had 80 people talk about realigning existing routes or maybe changing something or tweaking the existing system. 55 wanted more hours of service. 43 said to either increase or decrease frequency. 43 were just talking about bus stop spacing. And 26 were about amenities. When we talked about reliability, we got 52 people commenting on safety and maintenance, primarily winter maintenance, sidewalks, and snow clearance. 26 were talking about on-time performance and time transfers. And then 20 were comments directly about the bus drivers, either positive or negative. We had 25 general comments, 6 comments about the budget, and 19 that fell into like other services, some kind of like technology stuff there. We got 16 comments about Anchor Rides and 1 comment on Rideshare. So we put together a summary, and this is online, so you can go onto our website, peoplemover.org/transitonthemove, and we've got these great little summaries that show exactly who voted, where they voted, how many votes for what. So if you want a lot more detail than what I'm saying, you can go online. We even have even more detail, so if you want to see even more detail about the comments, it's online. There's a little summary sheet that looks like that. Then we had public event series number 2. So this was in May and June of this year, so just a few months ago. And this is where people got to vote on route ideas. So we had 323 people vote, 250 at event, 68 by email, 2 by mail, and 3 over the phone. We had project maps. I don't know if you remember these, but they are all named after an animal, but different route ideas for each one. So we had minor realignments. So we proposed like realigning the 21 or realigning the 65. We also had brand new routes, like a route on Old Seward. We had 3 different proposals for Old Seward. We had different routes that went down to Independence Park and East Anchorage. We proposed this idea of microtransit, which is a pickup zone, sort of like Uber and Lyft. The number one vote getter if you can see that, is the orange line Project H. So it goes from Diamond Center up Old Seward Highway to the Lusac Library on 36th Avenue over to Wisconsin in West Anchorage and then up to downtown. So that got the most votes overall. In Eagle River, the most, we proposed a little loop. We proposed a commuter service all the way out to the valley. The number one vote getter was keeping the 92 pretty much the same, except for getting off the exit before Artillery, because there's a park and ride lot, servicing that lot, and then going to the Eagle River Transit Center. So that got the most votes there. We also had the idea of adding back service on the holidays, increasing the frequency, increasing the span of hours on the weekdays or the weekends, adding transit security. We had two for anchor rides about the wait time or same day scheduling. Or we had the option for people to write in their own routes or draw their own routes, and we had a handful of people that did that as well. So here's what the voting boards ended up looking like. We had to go to two boards because we got so many votes on all the different projects. Out of all the votes we got, 50% of them were for a brand new route. So 50% of the people who voted wanted a new route. The other 46% just wanted a tweak to the existing route structure. So it was kind of half and half. Of those people who wanted tweaks to the existing structure, 18% of them just wanted route realignments. But of the 50% that wanted changes, 38% of all those wanted service to the Lusac Library. We heard that loud and clear. 2% wanted the microtransit in West Anchorage, and 1.6% wanted just to keep the Route 92 to Eagle River the same. Don't change it. So the top projects. In the upper right-hand corner, the dark blue, an old Seward route, we proposed three different alignments. Between those three, got 23% of the vote. So first place, an old Seward route. Second place, transit security, some sort of transit security. We don't know what that would look like. Third place, add more service on the weekends. Fourth place, add a service on 36th Avenue. Fifth place, add service to Independence Park, Elmore area. And then all the other ones fell in the other category. So our top five projects, Old Seward, Transit Security, Weekends, 36th, and Independence Park. That's just from the votes. That's how people voted. So we have this summary online, and we handed it out a while ago at the meeting. But if you want more information on how everybody voted for each individual route, that's all online. So what are we doing now? We are getting ready for the public event series number 3, which is going to happen in late October, early November-ish. And we are finalizing the project list. So now that we have the top 5 vote getters, we'll figure out which of those make it into the plan. We'll determine how much that's going to cost us. And then we'll put out a public review draft in October, November, and people will have time to comment on the plan. November. I'm hearing definitely November. Okay. Yeah, it is November. Thank you. Christine's correcting me. So I think that's where we are now. So just a not so quick update on ridership in total.
Thank you, Bart.
Thanks.
I have a few questions. Well, first a comment. These are awesome graphs. Thank you for putting time into those. I'm curious, so we're more or less back to 2015 ridership. What is our budget today compared to 2015?
We had a budget increase in 2019 to be able to bring the neighborhood routes in-house. So we do have a little bit more budget today than we did then. But it's minuscule.
And then My other question, so for the anchor rides, we got this chart on percent of trips by mode, or excuse me, by trip purpose. Do we have it, people mover? Was that part of the survey a couple years ago?
Yeah, the 2014 survey, okay. We have it. Yeah, but that was on the old system. I don't know how relevant it is.
Okay.
We still have it.
Okay, that just reminded me of that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was curious about that. Any other board questions or comments?
I have a question on like how you're going to price out these different opportunities. when it comes down to pricing out to see what we want to add later on. I mean, these are pretty big differences, like transit security. What does that even look like? I can see that's a huge project in itself.
Yeah, so that's just going to be, it's going to be very generic at first, and so we'll just get, like, you know, how many security guards we might want per hour and figure out a cost and put together a big planning level estimate, and then if we ever get to that point, then we'll have to refine it, and there'll be a process for that. But these will be high-level planning level, rounded to the nearest $100,000 estimates.
Any other board questions, comments? Okay. Moving on to 6C. I will. It's information.
Okay.
Well, in your announcement, you said that.
On action item.
It says you'll be provided an opportunity to comment on the action / iteration. So.
It should just be action.
Just action. So
okay, just action.
So we can respond.
I got you.
Or take that into account. Okay. So I will now take over the presentation, switching hats here. I will be giving a information. Yes. I'm Andrew Ohms. I am now acting as a consultant for the Muni. And I will give a presentation on Vision Zero. Vision Zero is the a national network, but it's a Muni initiative towards zero traffic deaths. That's by all modes. So emphasizing safety, be driven by the data. Today we have an acting on that, and it's a broad application. So it's really answering this question, how do we get home safely? How do we ensure everyone does that? So we're presenting to this group because while transit is the safest mode of travel there is, once you get off a bus, you're then a pedestrian, you cross a lot of streets to get to and from the bus stops, and pedestrian safety is really an emphasis based on the data moving forward. So the transit board is very relevant. So I'm going to breeze through these. A lot of information, but if the board has any questions, feel free to interrupt and stop me, and we can talk about it.
Do you want to present over there so it's louder for the public?
I could do that.
Sorry, I just figured it might be a little bit easier to hear.
So setting the stage, and a big part of Vision Zero is just the urgency we have. So these are headlines from this year talking about how people have died and been injured on our roadways. It's worth noting some of the language. A pickup truck struck someone. It's not a driver. We're dehumanizing the interaction. Just how we classify this in headlines, it seems inevitable. Well, it's not inevitable. We can act it, but these are people's lives that are being impacted here. Just a moment of reflection, who do you know has been involved in the crash? There are 17,000 people in the last 4 years just within the city of Anchorage that have been involved in a traffic collision. Most had no injury, but all too many were life-changing for them and for the people that know them and love them. So just some I hesitate to call them highlights here, some data elements. So 12 people per month were hit last year while walking. And 8 or 9 of those ended in a fatality. For biking, on average, 8 people were hit a month. And that's focused mostly in the summer months, so it's even higher in summer months. We've been fortunate, there hasn't been a fatality by someone biking in a number of years, but still, over 100 collisions a year. Motorcycles, again, focused in the summer, these are all within 4 months. So give or take 20 a month,
And it's also an emphasis area based on fatalities. We're starting to trend back up there a little bit. And if you haven't got the emphasis already, we're focused on our most vulnerable road users. They are overrepresented in the fatalities and severe injuries. Just looking at likelihoods, a pedestrian crash, 6% of pedestrian crashes end up in a fatality, and 77% have an injury. In bikes, recently again, no fatalities, there's certainly that risk, but 90% of bike crashes involve an injury. And these are, there's some caveats here, these are reported crashes. There are many other collisions that didn't make it into the database. But still, it's a high percentage are injured. Motorcyclists, 5% are a fatality. And by comparison, a very small percent of vehicle crashes into the fatality. There's still some, certainly, but people in vehicles tend to be well protected, at least in the city environment. Looking at factors, and again, there's another caveat here. These are just these are elements that were mentioned in the police report that's either filled out by a citizen or filled out by a police officer who's managing traffic after a collision, who's dealing with severe injury. So these reports, God bless the police officer, but these reports aren't always the most comprehensive when we're trying to analyze them years later. So we've seen some distracted. So red is last year and orange is the previous years on average. So we're seeing a lot of impairment with drugs and alcohol, unsafe speed, failure to yield, failure to stop are key factors. But we recognize these are incomplete. For instance, there are only two distracted driving crashes where that was mentioned in the police report. We all know there's a lot more than that. And national research says there's a lot more than that. But we're dealing with the hand we've dealt with here. On average, one crash per day attributed to alcohol and drug impairment. About 20% of fatal and severe crashes involved a driver or a participant with an impairment. And again, to convey the urgency, this is happening right now. So far this year, this 9 months, we've had 9 pedestrian fatalities. People walking about their daily lives have been killed on our streets. There's been 6 severe injuries. These are based simply on news reports. So it's not necessarily comprehensive, but it's a pretty good indication. Most of us probably remember the 2 children that were hit on the sidewalk in Eagle River and severely injured while riding bikes. And so far this year, we've had 5 driver and passenger fatalities and an unknown number of severe injuries. There were 6 hit and runs, and 2 of these involved DUIs. Again, this is based on just newspaper reporting. So as part of the Vision Zero plan that was put together last year, we developed a high injury network for pedestrians, bicycles, and vehicles and motorcycles together. The focus areas are midtown, especially in downtown, especially for pedestrians, but some east side major corridors. And what we're seeing is 30-40% of the fatal and severe crashes occur on this small subset of our network. So we're focusing on them. The circles here are crashes from last year. We're seeing that correlation as moving forward. So unfortunately, it's a question we have to ask, why should we care? And this is where public health gets involved. Obviously, the transportation professionals care, but traffic safety overlaps into public health. Risk on the road and resulting inactivity to an inhospitable transportation system has factors and contributes to obesity and physical activity is a powerful medical treatment tool that can decrease some of these negative outcomes. And it goes without saying, crashes are very impactful. If only from the monetary perspective, obviously we're talking about people's lives. So a fatal crash is about $4.4 million, and a lot of that is incurred either by the individual and families, but also by the municipality. And pursuing court prosecutions and road repairs and and all those other things. So it's not just about money, but by money, but solely looking at money, money's a big number. So the good news, how we're taking action, how Vision Zero is pushing things forward. So a culture of safety, where we all care about safety as we're going about our daily lives, as we're driving, as we're walking, as we're biking, as we're focusing on our health. So an important aspect of Vision Zero is crashes, and specifically severe ones, are preventable. They're not inevitable. They aren't a cost of our mobility. And therefore, we can change them. Everyone's human. We make mistakes. We misjudge when we're crossing the street. We drive too fast. We aren't looking carefully enough. And our roadway network should be designed to accommodate those mistakes. One thing we've seen in Anchorage and across the country is speed is a critical factor. We'll see a slide later that just speed contributes to severity quite dramatically. And lastly, the responsibility is shared. We're all users of the transportation network, and we all have this responsibility to make it safer. Does Vision Zero work? Absolutely. We've seen some major success stories across the country. New York City, 28% decrease in deaths since they implemented it in 2014. San Francisco, 41%. Smaller city similar to Anchorage, 25% since 2016. Drop in deaths and severe injuries. So they can have dramatic impacts. And again, tying health to activity, to active transportation. If we provide routes that are safe and comfortable, folks will use them to reach their everyday destinations and be more healthy and active as a result. So where are we? Vision Zero was launched in 2016. It was a mayor's initiative. The Vision Zero action plan was last year. That included a 1 to 3 year list of actions to build on the had a data analysis portion, but to build on that, what are the best practices, what can we do in that short time frame to make an impact? And then where we are this year is we're implementing the first year of that plan. So giving this presentation is part of that. A few highlights from this year, there was a pop-up that AMATS and Bike Anchorage organized, and there was a number of volunteers. At 4th and Denali, a temporary roundabout, some activities, folks were out there and just demonstrating that around about this location under real world traffic can work while experiencing the ease of crossing compared to what was there before and bicycles navigating and so forth. This was the first, but there will be many more going forward. The Muni Traffic puts out an annual data report. This past year, they're finally able to expand it, like they've been wanting to include a lot of the risk factors that Vision Zero and other documents have highlighted, and just demonstrate more data. We can't improve what we can't measure. And by putting the data out there for all to see every year and all to reference, we can see where we're tracking, see if improvements are being made. A law passed recently by the Assembly that handheld cell phone use in school zones, which is a $500 ticket. I don't know if that's been applied yet, but word's getting out, and that's one no-brainer factor that we can use to keep our most vulnerable safe. There's been a number of projects and initiatives that have had a roadway safety element. These are all Muni projects. The DOT has had projects as well. And again, the shared responsibility, what can we collectively do? So there's no one solution. It takes everyone together changing behavior. So taking more active transportation, following the speed limit, reducing those speed limits, not taking your phone while you're driving. Those are all elements. And then again, broader public health picture, increasing activity, making that active transportation safer, more convenient. We'll encourage that and we'll improve health outcomes. This is the slide I promised before. So at 40 miles an hour impact speed to a pedestrian, 80% of those pedestrians will die. just down to 30 miles an hour, that percentage is half. At 20 miles an hour, it's 5%. So speed is hugely important when we're talking safety. Also, lower speeds, there's more time to react. And so the crashes overall will go down, but especially the severity of those crashes will go down. And it's clear, but drugs and alcohol and driving don't mix. There's some quotes recently in the paper about some patterns there, and some cases, and driving distracted. So it's not just our phones. That's an increasingly big issue with some demographics. But you can get into a crash just as easily reaching to change the radio, or reaching for a snack, or putting on makeup, or the other things that people do. So 50% of people report seeing drivers using their phone while driving. I think the other 50% didn't see that because they were using their phone while driving. it's a common problem. I and many others have promised just not to use our phones while we're driving, not have them on, not put them in do not disturb mode, or whatever the case may be. So again, it's a broad range. Engineering, I'm an engineer by training and by job, so I want to fix the infrastructure, but there's a whole range of tasks. So collaboration, transit's part of that. Working together to move these initiatives forward and to get the word out. Education on existing laws even, who has the pedestrian right of way, for instance. Enforcement, one of our major initiatives is to get automated enforcement, so red light cameras and speed cameras legal again, municipality, because that's a proven countermeasure to improve safety. And lastly, community engagement. We're all using the transportation system, and we all ride the bus or drive or walk or bike, and therefore we're all the ones out there interacting with each other. Lastly, a thank you, especially to Dawn here on the board, who was a key component behind the grant that is making this this initiative possible, but also to the city, as they are the agency that's leading the way on this. So that's what I got. A little out of breath. So any board questions or comments?
I have a question. What did you use to make the temporary roundabout look like, or did they look like a piece of earth-moving equipment?
Oh, I think that was a picture of just someone going through. So it was, there's lots of different approaches. For this case, we used a traffic control company out there and put out the cones and the signs and all of that. There are other cases where you can use chalk, you can use hay bales in a more probably residential environment. They used temporary tape that they put down on the pavement for the crosswalks. So there's Bike Anchorage actually got a grant, and they now have a trailer full of this that we're working on it, but it will be a kind of a lending library trailer to spread the word and make these possible by all sorts of groups. Yes.
I was just going to mention, I'm part of the team working on Vision Zero, and I've been out this last 2 weeks doing intercept surveys with pedestrians, people walking, specifically targeting the high injury network that Andrew highlighted. So I may have spoken to some of you, or maybe you saw me out in my vest. It was always a colleague, but we've been getting some really interesting information about people's concerns and opinions about walking in Anchorage, and that's part of this year one action. Implementation.
Is there somewhere online that the PowerPoint is posted that I could look at that again later?
So this PowerPoint is not yet posted. We're planning on doing that, but the Muni has a Vision Zero website that has last year's similar data focus plan, the action list, the toolbox, those sorts of things.
In that case, would it be possible for you to send me a picture of the high injury network map so that I can see it better?
Yes, and that map is in the plan from last year.
I think it's muni.org/vision0 is the website.
If I had to guess, yes.
I think I built it. With Chelsea's help.
I didn't
I can just say from my perspective, I'm a nurse, and this has always been really, really important to me to get more people biking and walking and to do it as safe as possible. And the communities that we have implemented these projects, these Vision Zero projects, where walking and biking has increased, the percentage of people walking and biking, we've seen drastic decreases in cardiovascular disease, blood pressure, diabetes, many cancers, attention deficit disorders, kids paying attention at school. The list goes on and on and on, and it's not that people need like that 20 minutes of hardcore exercise. What they're saying, and the data that's coming out is, 3 to 5 minutes a couple of times a day is enough to really make some serious changes. And so this project is just like, it's fabulous for safety and health.
We've been at this for a long time.
I think, too, an important part of this, I saw improper crossings on there as a cause of fatalities and injuries, too. And just, I'm just wondering, and I think that the use of accessible pedestrian signals with, which has the speech and tells you when to cross is really important, too. In my work, I focus on with blind, visually impaired individuals, but I'm wondering if the placement of those decreases those numbers of improper crossings and what effect that would have. Yeah, but I hope it's part of the plan for that.
Yeah. Some intersections don't have a walk sign. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm wondering if those were there.
Any other board comments? Public comments, we'd be happy to take under item 7. So we're not quite there yet. Any other board comments or questions? Great. Then moving on to item 6D, advertising restrictions policy.
So this is an informational item, and this is the little handout. It's got the two little yellow highlights. But basically, this is the restrictions that we currently have on our bus advertising. And we get a lot of questions on who can advertise, or sometimes we have a sign up there, people don't like it. And then we say, well, it is freedom of speech. If it doesn't violate one of these restrictions, we have to allow the advertising. So the first part that looks a little crooked because I just copied and pasted from a PDF is our restrictions that the Public Transportation Department has. And then the bottom part is a new part of the municipal code that deals with marijuana advertising. So it's not covered in ours, but it's covered in the code. So we can't change the code. Well, we can, but Assembly can. We can recommend changes. So that is set. It basically says no marijuana advertising on transit buses or at shelters. But there are some things that come up that I didn't know if this board wanted to take this on to recommend maybe updating this. For instance, we don't really have a policy on CBD. It's not really technically marijuana advertising. Do we want to restrict that kind of advertising? Do we want to restrict advertising where one group may accuse another group or another company of something and have that on our bus? Right now, technically, they can. We could restrict it to where you can only advertise your company or yourself or things like that. There are other examples of places that do that. It would be up to the PTD, Public Transportation Department, to establish these new restrictions. But if we wanted to do that, we would like to start with this group, have you guys formulate some policies or recommend changes to some of this with the public input before we take a stab at it. So I just bring it here as an informational item, so don't feel like you have to read and know this, but if we want to bring it back as an action item and have a more in-depth discussion, we can do that. It's up to you.
Just something topical that comes to mind is vaping.
Right.
Anyone advertised for that now, but
yep. Yep, and so when we get things like that, like obviously vaping and tobacco products, but not all the time is it tobacco, and then is it harmful to minors? Does it follow in there? So we usually end up getting a lot of legal opinions, which take a lot of time and sometimes money
resources
to figure out, yeah. So it'd be good just to spell it out.
And there's a lot of agencies throughout the country that have very clear guidelines on how their advertising policies and standards live, and most of them are in code. Ours is a combination, so sometimes that gets a little confusing. Is it a department policy or is it an Anchorage Municipal Code? And I think if this was to be vetted through you with public participation and then recommended to the assembly, we have a little bit more of a firmer ground to stand on if it's in code. It would allow us some pretty clear guidance and would be helpful in our day-to-day activities.
As I'm speaking for health, one thing that we would like to see on this is your sweet beverages not advertised, and I don't think that they do that now, but that would be nice to get it in cold as well, if that were a possibility.
What type of
beverages? Sugar sweetened beverages?
Right now you can.
Right now you can?
Yeah.
Can't?
You can, yes.
Can.
Yes, you can.
Okay, so yeah, as a public health perspective, mm-hmm. we would really like to see like a ban on that. And there's just tons and tons of research to show why that would be something that we might be interested in.
Mm-hmm.
Would it make sense for one of us to, like, maybe if you guys have recommendations of places that we should look, one of us can come back at the next meeting? I'm not saying it has to be staff time. It could be a board member could come back and say, like, here's what I found.
That'd be great.
And keep this conversation moving. I think mm-hmm. it's an important conversation to have.
Is the focus on clarity, or is the focus on prohibiting more?
I think it's both.
Okay.
So there's nothing that says that I can't take an ad out and says, happy birthday, Bart, you know? Or, you know, anyone else can do that too, just by the way.
We'd encourage it.
Yeah, so we might want to, like, put in some reins, you know, of like, because that could also go the other way, you know?
Disparaging.
Yeah, because
like,
Bart don't have a happy birthday.
Don't.
You know? It probably wouldn't say that, but, yeah.
I think the other thing to think about is like political ads, because that's pretty like a common use for the people. Most of the ads that I've seen have been 70% of the political ads that I've seen have been fairly positive and just are about the candidate. But I think I remember a couple that are like attacking. So.
Yeah. There's a smart word for that, like
disparaging
comments. Yeah, like that, where like you could only advertise yourself as a political candidate, you know, mm-hmm. and that you can't say anything about the other candidate on your ads. So yeah.
We had this winter we had an instance where one group went after another group, and we got a lot of blowback on it as the department, and. You know, it's freedom of speech, and the other agency could have turned around and taken out a very similar ad against the agency that, you know, had some disparaging comments against them.
So my follow-up question is that, do we run into any, like, civil liberties clashes if we start to prohibit things that are technically freedom of speech, since this is a public department?
So I think part of it comes from what's our policy. And what guides our decision making? Because at this point, we don't have anything that says agency A, you cannot take out an ad against agency B.
So the FTA, Federal Transit Administration, allows the transit agency to set the restrictions themselves. So if we set a restriction, it is okay as long as we apply it fairly. But where we fall into is we don't have enough restrictions or enough clarifications to where we pretty much allow everything unless it very specifically falls in these categories so that we don't violate anyone's freedom of speech. And that's when we get some of the ads that we get a lot of negative comments about.
When you mentioned disparaging ads earlier, were you talking specifically about political or everything?
Could be anything. It could be one company attacking another company.
Okay.
You know, company A is polluting the air. Well, that's... Who knows if that's true or not, but they could put that ad on our bus.
Right. Yeah. I would think that would be hard to phrase, but I get the idea. And then, are there other restrictions in the code, or is this the only municipal code section that restricts advertising?
For transit, it's only here, except for where it defines all these other things that we prohibit, but it doesn't talk specifically about advertising.
Right.
Yet.
Okay. So this is all policy.
Yeah.
Can we have a work session on this?
Sure.
A lunch and learn?
You want a lunch and learn?
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh. I missed that. Did you say no?
No.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Okay, we can do that.
Okay.
Any other board comments or questions? Okay. Well, that moves us on to item 7, public comments.
I'm going to give you the sheets because people signed in.
People sign in, and I have a timer.
Excellent. Forever to do this.
You can read there. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thanks, Allison.
Let me set my timer.
So we're going to try to be a little more organized with our comments. So thank you all for signing in. And for those that checked a box that you'd like to comment, I will call on you. And then when that's done, I will call for folks who have not, who didn't sign in or check the box. So first up is Shirley Smith. Again,
well, I was wanting to ask a question when you were showing the pictures, but anyways. You showed a lot of pictures that showed that people were walking along the side of the road and killed. A lot of them talked really about the motor vehicle department not training the people before they get their license to be more alert. I still have about 3 foot long, 2.5, 3 foot piece of steel rebar. I have to use that to cross the street, period, starting or ending. I figure if you hit it and I have my hand out, then you're going to have to explain to your insurance company why. Rudolph, you showed pictures of people vanpooling who get unlimited people mover rides for free. Students who have their ID get to ride for free for the school year or longer. Yet seniors only get 1 day out of the week to get to ride for free. That doesn't exactly seem kind of even. But as for walking alongside the road, my son got a ticket. $70 for walking alongside the road instead of on the sidewalk. Now he works real late at night, so he's probably real tired and not even aware that he wasn't on the sidewalk. He probably thought he still was. That's here nor there, but still, nobody knows that you can get a ticket for walking alongside the road, so don't do it. But as for the signs that you have out around, tell us what we've done good and what we've not done good. Well, good doesn't take very long, because the only thing I can say that you've done good is that you've kept the Wednesday for seniors free. As for the rest of the stuff, I'm thinking, who was drunk, who was smoking pot, or who didn't, because your numbers on the bus routes are craziest they've ever been. I can't go to the library unless I walk. Well, I have cysts on both my ankles, so walking a long distance causes my legs to swell up, and it's extremely painful. I can't go to the clinic. I can't go to my ear doctor. I can't go even to Providence to visit somebody or for my own care because there's no bus routes.
Thank you, ma'am. That was too much. Next on the list, we have Paul Watson.
That was a waste of time.
Oh. Yes, I've been working on cleaning up bus stops along Spinard. And I want to thank you for the new campaign you guys had of the Adopt a Stop. That has helped me get some volunteers to work with me to help at different stops to help clean up the bus stops. The drivers overall have been exceptionally cooperative with us cleaning up the bus stops. And where there's no bin to put the trash in, they put it on the bus in their trash can there as much as they can. Now, two drivers, I had trouble with two drivers. One driver was nice about it. He said, "You've got too much trash at the bus stop to put in my little container here on the bus. So can you take it in a garbage bag and take it downtown to the downtown station and put it in one of the big cans?" I said, "Sure, we can do that." But the other bus driver, he said, "You know, you've been getting on my bus with that crap from the bus stops." And he said, "This is my office and my professional job." He said, "I don't want your crap on my bus. And it's not welcome here." And he said, "If you keep bringing it on my bus, you're not welcome here to ride the bus." And he took the bag of trash from the bus stop and threw it out the door. And I said, "Well, who's going to clean it up then?" He said, "I don't give a damn. It's not my responsibility. I'm a professional driver, not a trash hauler." So But it might help if somebody can put a note to the union saying, if people are trying to volunteer to help clean up a bus stop, help them out. Most of the drivers, you know, like I said, most of my real cooperatives say, good, thanks for cleaning that mess up. But there's always an exception.
Thank you, sir. next up we have, is that Buck? I'm sorry, we're reading. Yes, sir.
Yeah, my name is Buck Bloomer. I'm retired military and I've lived up here since 96. I have one thing that I'm hoping for, and it's for stop buttons at some of these really dark, blinded, you know, shadowy areas like at Providence Hospital. You know, if somebody's out there standing in the dark and waiting for a bus, if there would just be a stop signal there that would just sit there and flash for 15 seconds, and then it'd shut off. You can have it solar operated. It can be, you know, cost effective. Once
I've
it's
seen
actually
those
installed, it'll pay for itself. You know, prevent from these people being missed at these bus stops that are in the dark areas. And we're going into the dark area. The darkness is coming. So, you know, so hopefully, you know, you'll find the budget. You'll find the money that you can install possibly just one at Providence Hospital. I've already talked to the security up there, and I spoke with Officer Phil, and he said, yeah, that's a good idea. So, you know, you have their support up there at Providence, so maybe we can start there, and maybe it can blossom out into other areas.
Great, thank you, sir. where are we? Next up, Alan Rice.
Hi, everybody. I'd like to thank the People Mover for providing me with a free bus pass tonight, some candy over in Little Goody, for you guys basically doing your job. I want to congratulate all of the People Mover organization for boosting ridership. As you guys do that, less people drive. Right now, Anchorage is a driving town. That can't remain the case in this country. And it would be good if Anchorage would lead the way in converting this town from a driving town to a walking, a biking, and a busing town, which is much more environmentally responsible. And may even, not only along the way, make our lives better, but actually save our lives. Now, I gotta admit, I'm probably not gonna be around for the last part of that statement to really apply that much. I might only live for another 20 years. But you guys that are gonna live for 40 and 50 years, I guarantee you, 30 years from now, unless changes are made to switch around the United States economy and therefore lead the rest of the planet's economy in the same direction that's more environmentally responsible, things aren't going to work. And it's going to be a sad place to live. Hope that doesn't happen. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Next up is Ben Wilkie. Oh, did you? Okay. Oh, Bev, I see. Patricia.
Now I forgot my comment.
That's a clear one.
But I'm older than him. And I gotta sit. He's right, though, about, did you hear me? I said,
yeah.
We'll all be busing. No, really, the amount of cars that go zooming by us, and in your time, it is going to get worse. You know, the stuff that comes out of the cars. Well, but we're out there, though, so we need to reduce it. But anyway, mine was when you leave, or when you're waiting at the, I do have to, I don't mind walking. I've been walking for a year, and I'm going on one whole year solid walking. And then 8 months of, since January of this year through today, 15 minutes each way to the bus stop. And I finally got used to it. It's just automatic now. But I do have to come downtown way more, and I'm used to that too. But what I don't like, and for seniors especially, or older than me with the walkers and stuff, and waiting for your number to show on the bus. You see them coming down, and they click it off. They know what they're going to be. So what if they have to drive around the block, go to the bathroom, whatever? But I wish they would not wait quite so long. I mean, they need to increase that a little bit. I'm going to be bus number 40, and then they move, and we all move this way, and then they go way, you know, that kind of stuff. And or if you have the way to announce it inside automatically from the dispatcher's office, bus number 40 now leaving, bus number, you know. Well, when you make more money, you can do that.
Thank you. Sorry, man, that was your 2 minutes. Thank you.
It was mechanical.
We'll get you after.
Yep.
Okay, I'll tell you personally. It's kind of funny.
Perfect.
Yep, absolutely. Next up is Samantha.
Hi, I spoke earlier, Samantha. I'm here representing a provider, and some of the things that I'd like to ask is our agency supports mentally ill people. And a part of our service is to help our individuals get into the community via the bus. But that comes out of our pocket every day, and a $5 day pass becomes expensive for us as case managers going out in the community to help our people be a part of the community. What I'd like to know, is there a way where we as an agency could receive a single pass for our purpose of helping our individuals learn the ride share bus system, or can we receive it at a reduced price? A second part is that I do realize that you provide training for individuals that have special needs on riding the city bus system, which is great, but what we need to do is make this lucrative and working for our individuals to get to their destinations, which can be really difficult. Another piece of this, as a personal bus rider myself in previous years, one of my major concerns was my personal safety and safety of children on the bus from other individuals that decide that that's the prime spot to make derogatory remarks to individuals riding the bus, to the point where I actually made a scene and cursed this guy out in front of everybody on the bus and made him get off the bus because he made a child cry, which broke my heart. So what I would like to know is if you can put a sign up on the bus that would advocate for bus drivers to be concerned about the safety of their riders and giving them a little bit more power to get these people off the bus immediately. Because if we as riders feel safe on going up and saying, hey, JQ Madness over there is making derogatory remarks, I think that we would enjoy riding the bus a lot more.
Great, thank you. Next up, Michael Smith.
Yeah, I'm here just about one particular bus stop, and that's out at the Ted Stevens Airport. It used to be on the end, but it's been moved up from like door number 8 to number 5. And it's really hard for the buses to get in and out. The drivers aren't really happy about it either, because it's right there with the shuttle people and the medical center bus, and you can't get in and out of there. And the other thing that's wrong with the stops, they moved it in front of a smoking shack, and it's a little bit less than 25 feet from the bus stop, which is a violation of municipal code. And also on that bus stop is an old sign that says only no smoking within 10 feet of this sign. And there's been a couple of people that are upset about it, and they've been voiced with some other riders that have asthma and stuff, and they've actually talked about violating the American Disabilities Act, you know, thinking about calling forward on some other things. But it just needs to go back to where it was at the end of the runway there.
Thank you. Next up, Roy Johnson.
Okay, I got a few comments. One, me and my mother, we're in front of Mush Inn. We are trying to catch Route 20 to come here. The bus driver, my mom, most of the time has to be pushed around in a wheelchair. She is disabled. And the bus driver said this to me: I've already got one wheelchair on board this bus, and this bus is already kind of pretty full. Only people waiting at that particular stop were me, my little brother, and my mother in her wheelchair. There are two spots for a wheelchair on the bus for a reason. We got told to wait for the next bus. Number two, I believe there needs to be a bus that goes down Boniface. It don't matter if it goes, if it's just a loop that goes down Boniface to the hospitals and to Providence Family Medical Medicine Center off 36 on Latouche. It does some kind of loop right there. But then there's another thing. All bus stops need to have the trash cans put back with bags in the trash cans so that way people like me that go to the bus stop can actually have a place to throw trash away at a bus stop. If you go to the bus stop's cleaner, have a trash can right there for people to throw the trash in. You take the trash cans away, nowhere for the trash to go but on the ground. Put the trash cans back, it'll probably go in the trash can then, not on the ground. And then, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Thank you. Rose Stafford?
That's my mom. She took off because she got tired of waiting.
Okay, thank you. Carl Cancer.
Thank you. You know, when they first come out with this new system, and I saw eliminating Route 60, I was very emphatic with a bull, very outspoken, do not eliminate Route 60. And now you're getting all kinds of comments, bring 60 back. Now, Barkey, people mover, increase the frequency of the Lake Otis route to take care of the people. But I'll bet you a lot of those people come from Old Seward Highway that have to go to the Diamond Center to come to Towers before they took Route 60. So eliminating Route 60 was the dumbest thing you ever did. And I'm going to be very emphatic and outspoken about that. I would invite or ask the new people on the PTAB board, look at the old system, and I think you can get that from Bart, prior to this shambles that they come up with. This system that you have now is really messed up, really. And I made you the offer, give me a free bus pass for 10 years. I'm old enough, I may not live that long, but I will develop a system that will service all of the people. You should have taken the old route, tweaked it a little bit, instead of throwing the baby out with the bathwater. And that's what you did. I was completely opposed to that. Look at the old system, look at the new system. 8 routes were eliminated to give Mountain View 3 buses. One runs every 15 minutes, 2 run every half an hour. But 8 routes were eliminated, especially the old Seward Highway, a main thoroughfare for Anchorage. I've been here since 62. Old Seward Highway was main, and it was eliminated. People have to walk 2 miles. I've met people. Women with small children have to walk from Dowling to Tudor, which is 1.5 miles. Mom, you have to walk.
Thank you, sir. That's your team. Next up, Sam Moore.
Oh, I think Sam left.
Yeah, okay. Dave? I'm not sure how to say that.
Is there a Dave?
Okay. Dennis Nelson.
I forgot where they were coming
from. Okay. Joshua Williams.
I'm not the one that signed me in.
I see. Wendy? Are you ready?
Yeah, I was taking notes.
Yes.
I know that I was really thankful that you guys work with the school district to give free rides to the students, but I was kind of curious as to why only certain schools were eligible for that partnership, I guess you could call it. And I know that the school that my kids go to is either, I'm not sure what number it was, like a Title I or a Title III or a Title V, but it's basically like everyone, a lot of the people that attend the school are low income or less fortunate families. And I felt like maybe you guys could encourage that with the city, being a low income family and just making it easier for us to commute throughout the year. I also wanted to know about the classroom field trips and whether, I remember there was some kind of bus pass that a teacher could buy and she could use it, or he could use it all year long for their classroom. And I was wondering if that was, could be used, like, I'm a homeschool teacher, and if we would be eligible to be able to use something like that, it would be awesome. I don't know if that's a possibility. Also, I know that you guys have a sign at the front of the bus and it talks about disabilities and some kind of statuette or bill that goes along with it. I get a lot of dirty looks when I get on the bus. It's easier for me to get on the front of the bus with me and my baby. Not all disabilities, you know, physical disabilities are visible, or just because I may look somewhat young that I'm more capable. But if there could be some kind of note that explains that to all the passengers, like, don't stereotype me, you know, stereotype me as a mother or a mother with a lot of children, or anybody for that matter, honestly, that my disabilities aren't there also. And that, if there could be something that asks the other passengers to not speak to other people's children, and just speak to the parent first, out of respect. Maybe that child is uncomfortable with strangers, or they're told they're not allowed to talk to strangers, but not be encouraged to tell other people's kids to do something. You know, because there was just a tense moment on one of the buses where I literally had to stand up for my child, and I wasn't sure if that person was going to hit me or not in front of my children. So, you know, if they could just be respectful of other people's kids, maybe if you guys could advertise that on your boards or maybe on the wall, that would be awesome. And
thank you. Does Samuel Williams have a comment? So is there anyone who hasn't spoken that would like to speak for 2 minutes? Gretchen.
Thank you. I haven't signed in before, so I didn't see the chat. I'm just used to talking anyway, so I apologize. I want to say thank you. You guys are doing such a great job. I love the presentations. I love the fact that you had those up on the board and that everyone could see them. And I think it's really neat to have the business meeting. I know it's a long time to wait, but I think we learn a lot out here watching that, so I really appreciate that. I'm going to try to do this in a minute and a half. The reason I'm not on the board, I had to leave the board to be on the assembly, and a spot was to be saved for me. But of course, I was out there going, fill this board, we need this board filled, fill this board. And they filled the board without my spot. but that's okay, because we have 9 spots. But our system says that 2 of those spots should be reserved for folks with disabilities. I have a disability that qualifies, but I looked at that and I go, I don't want to be there just because of that. And then I thought, what about other folks that, you know, that becomes public record. Oh, that's the disability seat. And I just started thinking that maybe we are, that our language on that, we should reevaluate that, because as we have it, those 2 seats are still open. So even though we have 9 seats that are held for people with disabilities, we have only 7 seats because we don't have people in there. And the concept, maybe it's granted, it's a good reason. It's a really good reason. But it may not be worded in a way that encourages people to feel comfortable coming in to be a member of the board, and the disability happens to be something about that. So maybe encouraging disability, people with disabilities, or encouraging people who use anchor rides. But anyway, that's all I wanted to share, was that, and I chose not to. I could have, but I just felt that that was not something I wanted to do on that. But I think that's something we really need to look at, is how we word that so that we can have a full 9-person board.
Look at better, I promise.
Thank you. Anyone else who hasn't spoken? Yes.
Yeah, I needed to know why they took out a lot of benches and those shelters. I know a lot of people use those benches as their afternoon nap spot, but why take the shelters out? A lot of people need to sit down too. I'm one of them.
Could you state your name for the record, please?
I was the Dave, I think you called.
Oh, gotcha.
I wrote it like chicken scratch.
Yeah, I apologize, sorry. Anyone else who hasn't spoken?
Can I just add a comment for her and the disability?
No, we'd be happy to talk to you after the meeting. Thank you.
Okay, one comment per person.
Anyone else? Yes.
His opinion about getting the shelters and the benches back, especially the one at UAA that we've been waiting for a year, and also the access to Diamond Transit Center for the winter, because we're approaching another winter and having to wait out in the cold there, so they don't finish that remodel or start it.
Could you state your name for the record, please?
Linda Larson.
Thank you. Yes, Charlie.
Yes, thank you all so much for having this forum for everyone to air their complaints and also give compliments for the system. The question that I have is there any plan afoot to reinstate some of the stops that were eliminated that were between, let me think, Diamond Transit Center and out along Diamond, believed out to Abbott, where to have increased access to some of the other shopping areas besides strictly Diamond Transit or Diamond Mall? That was my question. Yeah, for safety's sake. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comments? Yes.
Yeah, the lady that left was unhappy because the public involvement announcement says like action/information items can be the public is invited to formally comment after the board. So it says so in here that with each of these five, A, B, C, and D, we should have had public comments available. So people were excluded from that discussion because now we've got to cram four things into 2 minutes. And it also says it on the June 13th minutes where Andrew Holmes comments would also be accepted after any informational item and action item. So you accepted comments after the action, and then the woman that left very unhappy. I don't blame her, because I was, you know, I thought about what she was sputtering about, and I look at, I'm a technical writer, and it indeed says comments after the information ones, because there's a lot of good stuff. And I would like to see pedestrian priorities at all the schools and shopping areas. Namely, I use the Romig and the Cars shopping area a lot, and the kids are crossing illegally and dangerously. That light, you can go around to your next birthday before you get across. If a car happens to come along, then as a pedestrian, oh, you get to go. But the Romig light on Minnesota is terrible, literally. And I have missed buses. I'm 5 minutes early, and there goes the bus because the light didn't change. And the smoking in transit, we pay security guards to keep smokers out, and they're just sitting in their office.
Thank you. Anyone else who hasn't spoken? Okay, well, we are at our time with one more item on the list, so I will.
Is there a motion to extend?
Yes.
I motion to extend.
Till?
For 5 minutes.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Any objections? Okay. Item number 8, board comments. We'll start with you, Elijah.
I want to respond to you, sir. Thank you for working with the bus stops team. That is a program you can do, adopt a stop, like keep things tidy. But don't be shy about calling the number too if you get to a bus stop and it's trash or the trash can is full, which, you know, can happen. So just call and report that as it, you know, as it occurs too. It's really important. So, but yeah, thank you, sir, for doing that. So.
Jennifer?
On a related note, with a comment from Dwight when he left, but with his concern about trash cans not being at stops, there is a way to request amenities including trash cans. Check that out there as a reminder. Aside from that, I'd have to go over my notes and review more, so I will pass it on to Chelsea.
Yeah, thanks. I just wanted to, I think I told the board or everybody that was at the last Lunch and Learn, I have a new position at the municipality. I'm the public information officer for project management and engineering. And while they don't encourage municipal employees to join boards, because I was on the board before I was a municipal employee, they said it's okay, assuming everyone on the board is comfortable with that. If you're not, I'm happy to chat with you about it and address it and make it work for everybody. But I'm excited about that crossover because I think our project management and engineering department does a lot of transportation and public works projects in the city. So that bus shelter over at on Providence, that's one of the projects of project management and engineering. So now I can hear this comment that I've been hearing from you for months and take it back to the office and say, guys, why isn't this here? You know, and so I'm excited that I can kind of relay the information between these very related activities. Thanks everybody for being here, always, and for giving your comments. They're really important.
Yeah, so I have four things. The first is, you know, just echoing some comments from some other folks, but really, really thank you for being so patient, especially since this moving the public comment to the end of the meeting rather than the beginning. Like, it does take a lot of time, and it's a transition period that we're trying to work through, but it's, I think it's really good to be accommodating for a lot of folks who can't make it to 5:30 right away. And so, like, as we kind of, you know, move on with this new process, perhaps people can kind of, like, adjust, like, when they come to the meeting, so you don't have to wait an hour just to have, like, your 2 minutes to speak. You know, you can wait a little bit less. So really, thank you, everybody, for being patient with this change. The second, that's really cool that we have, like, Sunday world record for people mover. Oh, my gosh. Wow. The third, so also echoing what Jennifer was saying with the amenities, I think I brought this up before, but I think it would be kind of convenient to have that form just up at the front. So when someone talks about their trash, they can just write it down on the form over there. And then the fourth thing, and I think we talked about this at the Lunch and Learn, but when Gretchen was talking about how there are two seats that are open for people with disabilities, I was talking with Doug, and we saw that there's the thing to teleconference sit, right? And so I know, you know, I'm all about increasing access and pushing down barriers for people with disabilities where it is difficult to come to meetings. And I just want to emphasize and acknowledge that if you have a disability and it's difficult to come to a meeting, or you know people who would be great on the board, they could teleconference in, and that would make it a lot easier for participation. So, yeah.
I don't have any comments other than the fact that as a board, we are really trying to serve you and be efficient with this process. We spent some lunch times all summer long coming in and learning how to better serve you. So I really appreciate the board and the staff for allowing us that opportunity. And so thank you all for coming on.
We're up against our time. Gretchen, your point about, we Andrew did bring this up. We have talked about this a fair amount in your absence. I guess there are two parts of this disability, the two positions. I mean, one is the recruitment idea, and this teleconference thing could help. But then, because the language is in the municipal code, that the language could be changed. It could be someone who's sort of representing the disability community, but that has to go through the assembly, so we'd have to sort of tee that up and talk to them. We can't do that, as you know. But we didn't forget that. We have thought about that. The other thing I want to echo what Patricia was saying about the transit center and figuring out the bus numbers. It's like a sick little game out there sometimes. You're out there, you're looking around, the bus pulls up, doesn't have a number, you can't get eye contact with the driver, and then The bus pulls forward, maybe at the same time the number goes up. So then you gotta run up to see, what is that number? And now, and I literally am running, and I'm not even looking back to see who's not catching up to me. But and I did recently get so eager, I jumped on a 30 instead of a 10. So it's not a, I don't know what we can do about it. There has to be something to make it, even if the drivers have to stay an extra 30 seconds in that spot or something. So it would be amusing.
I don't mean to interrupt, but
yeah. Ma'am, we can talk after the meeting more. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, we'll talk about that. We've got to be able to do something. So thank you.
Great. And thank you all for coming, as always, and bearing with us as we kind of transition to try to make our meetings more focused and responsive and effective with public comments. Again, we emphasize service equals ridership and budget equals service. So as much progress as we can make in those areas, the better. And then lastly, we want to commend the department for innovations like rideshare with bus pass, things like that. Seems like you're always coming up with something new, and it's cool to hear about after the fact, if not before. And then I do want to commend Buck and Paul for their initiative just to make our city and our transit system work better. We definitely appreciate your efforts, and I want to commend you for that. With that, I will move or entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn. I second it.
Adjourn.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Long.
Yeah.
That was
long, but it was good.
It went well.
I mean, I served more than my share.
We're
going
to fix
it.
There's
a full agenda.
It is getting
better. It was a full agenda. So we're going to fix this.
Yeah. But you know,
and we need a reminder to silence.
Public comment on information. That's my fault. I added our reason. But like, Matt, they could come and come.
Do we?
Yeah. No, so we can take it off, but that is my fault. Sorry. So
I just we.